we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, covering all of North Alabama. Solid, conservative, and just plain right. That's how we roll here on Right Side Radio. Well, all right, we're going to start something now that's one of my favorite things every single week we do this. For those of y'all that are new to us in the Birmingham audience, we call it the Grand Council. I got two other guys that I've just enjoyed getting to know them. They do what they do. They do it well. They're both radio show guys. And they come on with me, and we ping each other with questions, and we just kind of see what the different perspectives are on things that are hot topics in the news. So without further ado, let me call the roll. I know one of them is having to call in because he was mobile, but that would be WVNN's FM 106. I'm sorry, WVNN. I can't even say it anymore, Dale. FM 92.5, 770 AM, Huntsville Cumulus Broadcasting Guy, WVNN, Dale Jackson. Are you with us?
I am present and reporting for duty.
You are, and you're listening to me stumble over the fact that I can't even say my station IDs anymore. That's just awful.
You're a star now. You're a star.
Is that the way it works? Hey, thanks for calling in, man. Appreciate you. All right, we also got on the clean feed connection here. Jeff Poor from FM Talk 106.5 down in the nether regions of our state. Jeffro Poor, are you here?
I am present.
You are present, and I appreciate it. All right, the Grand Council, Copper, I pronounce a quorum. You have a sound effect. Go ahead and hit it.
Assemble the Grand Council.
Ta-da! Da-da-da-da! All right, fellas. All right, listen, I'm going to go ahead. Now, Dale got to start last time, which really made him very happy, but I'm going to go ahead and go with Jeff first this time. So, Jeffro, first question, what you got?
The House District 2 outcome was justice served there.
You stole my question. I got to mark that off my list now. That was number one.
Sorry about that.
On my list. Yeah, back it up for the audience's benefit and explain what just happened.
So the Alabama Republican Party Steering Committee met earlier this week. They declined to hear a challenge from Kimberly Butler, and it wasn't because of the merits of her challenge at all. It was because her filing fee was 2 hours late, and from there they decided they would award the nomination for that race to Ben Harrison.
Well, I'll be honest with you. Yeah, so House District 2 has been kind of in flux now for a while, and she was like number three in the actual original ranking. She was fighting for the right to be in a runoff and asking for a second, primary runoff or election. But that's a super technicality, dude. You know what that tells me? They didn't want to deal with it, I guess. Was justice served? Maybe, because Ben Harrison was probably going to wind up being the winner. But still, you look at it and go, dang, late filing fee? That's what they ruled on? That sounds pretty ticky. Dale?
Being technically correct is the best kind of correct. So that's it.
That's your whole answer. So Dale's not had a Red Bull yet today. We're listening to the moderated Dale Jackson. I don't know though. I mean, I look at it, I get it, but you know what? There's also a thing called equity where you look at it not equity like in the liberal sense, but where you look at it and say the equitable solution is why was it 2 hours late? They've known this was coming all this time, and that's what they're going with. I'm just looking at wow. What your own question, Jeff? What do you think?
They needed to rule on the merits of this. This could come up again. There's no reason to have confidence in anything any of these county, local, yokel boards of registrars do. That you need to have something on the book, something to show that this is how we handled it in the past. This is the discussion we had. This was a weak way out. They should not have ruled on the technicality. They should have at least considered what the law says and made a legal argument here. So I'm disappointed in the steering committee for this cop-out.
You know what? You just swayed me. I totally agree. You're right. They did not set precedent. And as a lawyer, I'm shocked that I didn't think that through myself. But you're right. They did not set a precedent to guide future, except to tell people to file your filing fees on time. That does feel lame. All right. Listen, moving on from that, Dale Jackson, I'm going to go with you next, brother. What kind of question you got?
Steve Marshall, he wants to have people sentenced in jail, and he wants them to stay there. Lots of people are complaining about the state of our prisons, and it's a little ridiculous for them to be making this argument. But is he going to be able to get support in the legislature to keep some of these bad guys in jail longer? I think he will be able to. What do you think?
I think after the – I'll jump on that first. I think after the recent loss of a deputy by someone who was on work release, of all things, with a history of violent crime. You look at it and go, what the heck? They gave him quality good time. They credited him for good time served. Well, I got news. It wasn't good. He was in and out. He was a career recidivist. And now we have a deputy who's a father of, you know, two small kids and a husband, and he's gone. So I think there's going to be sentiment to go ahead and tighten things up, especially in the wake of what we're seeing with the arguments against these liberal DAs in other states. It is time to start tightening things up again. Jeffro?
Can we stop letting Chris England, Beth Shelburne, these people who lose elections, who should have no standing here or no clout here, dominate this discussion? And when the legislature gets back, and you talk to these guys in the legislature, and those that aren't on judiciary, or they want to tighten this thing up. But for whatever reason, it's the trial lawyers that dominate some of these committees, or are the dominant donors for some of these guys that are on these committees. There just seems to be a very weak-kneed approach talking about criminal justice reform and sentencing reform. Nobody in the state really wants that, except for a small minority of people. They are the outspoken people in this discussion, and the legislature needs to get behind Steve Marshall, because he's the guy that's leading right now.
Well, he is, and he's actually the only one making sense on it right now too. And I haven't heard anything out of the Ivey administration. Has anybody heard anything out of Governor Ivey's administration about whether it's time to get tougher on crime?
Nope, not a peep.
Has anyone heard from the Ivey administration about anything at all lately?
They're about drilling and not abortions on boats.
Oh, okay. Well, there's that. All right. Well, listen, I'm going to take the next question then. So Mike Rogers, following that up, it's a great segue. Mike Rogers, I think he was on your show, or was it on Yaffe's show? I've forgotten which one he was on.
He was on
recently.
The Yaffe show.
Yaffe.
No. I know where you're going. He was on my show when he said this.
You wrote this up, didn't you, Jeff, in 1819?
Yeah, this is from the Jeff Poor Show.
Let's make sure the FM Talk 106.5 Jeff Poor Show Daily had Mike Rogers. Congressman Mike Rogers came on and took some serious issue with the fact that the legislature is spending COVID relief money to help build the prisons. And basically he said that he was, I forgot what he said, like he was losing his mind, or he was
aggravated, it makes him want to chew nails.
That's what it was. Well, if you got a congressman chewing nails at the state legislature and they're both Republicans, then somebody's really aggravated. I look at it and think, okay, I recognize we got to build the jails. We got to. There's no choice. If we're going to be tough on crime, we got to have a place to put them. And right now, we've been at 100. We're up to 185% capacity when I first got elected in 2010. We're down some to like 160% capacity. It's still awful. But I agree. I think ARPA, the relief funds, was questionable in terms of its usage. Your thoughts, Jeff? You first.
Yeah, I mean, I get where he's coming from here, but if you don't want the legislature spending money like that, then write a different law than they did at the congressional level. I mean, I don't know what his gripe is here. I don't think he didn't vote for ARPA, but he needs to, concede the fact that he doesn't really get a say in this. I maybe you disagree with what the legislature did, but... they followed what the law put forth, so I think I don't know. It's kind of sour grapes a little bit.
Well, it was technically allowable, but then he looks at it and goes, "It was supposed to be for COVID relief," and that's kind of the point he was making in his the write up that you did the other day, wasn't it?
That is it, and he's saying that next time we have a pandemic, if we do, we're not going to be better off because we use this money to build two mega prisons that should have been spent on rural broadband.
Dale Jackson, your thoughts, bud?
Well, he's right in what he's getting at, because it should have been built, spent on real things to deal with the pandemic. But they've said, here's some money, go nuts. And every state said, okay. And that's exactly what they did.
Well, they did. And the interesting thing is, if you look at it, how much of that came back to the people? Next to nothing. They fueled government, and then they fueled government, and then they built some more government. And that's where the money has gone, is pretty much for government. All right. Well, listen, fellas, let's go ahead and call that the moment there. We first round of the Grand Council. Let's go ahead, Copper, and take a break. We'll do that. We'll come right back. Round two of the Grand Council. We ping each other with questions. We run the gamut. We see whether we agree or disagree. But at the end, we still love each other, whatever the case may be. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative, just plain right. We'll be right back. We are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, covering all of North Alabama. Solid conservative, just plain right. For those of y'all that are new to the show, we are doing this thing once a week. We call the Grand Council. I've got my friends Dale Jackson, Jeff Poor, Dale Jackson from 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN out of Huntsville, and then our own Jeff Poor from FM Talk 106.5 down in the coastal regions of our state. They both have their own shows. They both have their own opinions, and we just swap them back and forth and see what we got. And I think, Jeff Rowe, we are back to your question. What you got, man?
The Alabama Ethics Commission. Why does it exist? So yesterday, the Alabama Ethics Commission, it was determined they don't have to provide exculpatory evidence to the Attorney General if they uncover it in an investigation they are conducting. And you have a kind of an old prosecutor there, Tom Albrecht, who wants to make it more function more like an investigative agency. But I can't figure out where it really fits in the ecosystem. It doesn't really make sense to me. It never has. Can either one of y'all maybe enlighten me?
No. So I haven't heard this. You're saying they've got a new policy. They will not provide exculpatory information to the AG. So if he's doing an investigation that parallels theirs, they won't give him. They won't trade information.
Right. The Alabama Supreme Court said they don't want to, and they took it to court, and the Alabama Supreme Court says that they have no obligation. So this is our taxpayer government at work, and we have these two conflicting, contradictory agencies that exist having a turf war right now, and the Supreme Court says, well, they do their thing, the AG's office does their thing, and they don't have to do anything at all for the AG's office.
I have not heard this. In fact, the rule of law should be the rule of law, period. For those who don't know, the Ethics Commission is supposed to be the body that oversees public officials and makes sure that they stay in line, so to speak. And I can tell you any number of times if something was happening, I might have to write a letter to the Ethics Commission and say, hey, by the way, I have a person that I'm working with over here as a lawyer. I want to make sure that's not an ethics violation. And they would send me back something that says do or don't. But then again, they have arrest authority. They have subpoena authority. They can be an investigative body that finds someone guilty and send them to jail. But I've never heard that they wouldn't work with the AG. What a heck of a thing. Dale, chime in.
Well, one of the things that I always am amused by with the Ethics Commission is people would ask them for opinions, and like you said, sometimes they'll respond, sometimes they don't. Sometimes they'll give an opinion, and that opinion isn't something that can keep them from getting in trouble for doing the thing they said they could do. It's messed up, and Jeff just lays out yet another way that commission is messed up. It doesn't have obligations. It has abilities, and I think it needs to be fine-tuned, but every time they try to fine-tune it, you get knuckleheads like Jeff Poor's best friends, Josh Moon and Kyle Whitmire, who are like, oh, they're trying to control the ethics commissions so they can rape the state treasury and all this other stuff, and we never get anywhere. They need to change it. It's not working as it's supposed to.
And here's the thing, Dale. Those guys at APR, Britt and Moon, they don't think the Ethics Commission, they don't know why it functions either. They complain about it all the time. Like, if you wanted to find, like, where Phil Williams, Dell Jackson, Josh Moon, and Bill Britt all agree on something, is what's the point of this agency?
Okay, first of all, don't ever put me in the same position of saying that I agree with anything that Bill Britt and Josh Moon said.
Well, do you never, or do you not?
Never, ever in a million. I refuse to answer that question on the basis it's going to taint my life if I say that I agree with anything those guys said.
But is it true or not?
Well, I mean, in this particular case, I have to look at it. I mean, I think the Ethics Commission certainly has a place, but I'm baffled by this whole thing about, you know, not providing investigatory information. What is it? Is the AG's have even subpoena authority? Can the AG subpoena? I would think so. They can subpoena the Ethics Commission and say, give us your stuff. But you're saying they just won't have a handshake deal? They won't share information back and forth?
No. The Supreme Court says they have no obligation, no legal obligation.
No
whatsoever.
Obligation.
I just sent you I texted you the story if you want to check it out. But that's as of yesterday. And I can't figure out What's the point then? Why do we have this agency if they're not going to? There's a turf war between Auburn and Marshall's going on here, and it's just not good for the taxpayer, I don't think.
No. Wow. That. All right. I'll look that one over, bro. I have not seen that yet. But you just surprised me with a new one. Dale Jackson, your question, Bubba. What you got?
All right. So I have a question here that may not be as interesting as everything else that we've been talking about here, but just
but
real
you're
going
to ask it anyway.
I am going to just ask it anyway. I want to talk about the national stage here for a second. Is Joe Biden truly going to continue sending immigrants to Alabama in the middle of the night while the media pretends that immigrants don't come to Alabama in the middle of the night?
Yes. As long as he can get away with it, he will, in the dark of night. Mayorkas is going to keep loading planes under the sanction of Joe Biden and sending them wherever he feels like it, because right now nobody can stop him from doing it. And Congress is ineffectual and still controlled by Democrats. It's the only way it's going to stop, in my opinion, is if the American public has enough of a voice to say, stop the madness. I mean, that's what happened with, you know, parents going to school board meetings. That's what happened with situations like recall votes now for Gascon, the DA, going on out in California. It's going to take people getting active and getting ugly, because right now the political powers are not going to stop it. Jeff?
You're right. This isn't going to stop it. And you know what would happen, guys, if the federal government stopped busing or flying these immigrants to Alabama in the middle of the night? The Tyson's Chicken Plant or whatever, you know, a farm out there, they would be the ones to bring these migrants to Alabama. So, I mean, yeah, I mean, it should be aided and abetted by the federal government. I agree, but it's Democratic administration. That's what's going on. But until you shut down the border or you de-incentivize migration, this is going to be a persistent problem.
Well, it is made worse by policies that just leave the border. We have no border. It's ridiculous. I mean,
my bigger question here is really, like, we know this is happening. The reporting we see it makes it clear, and our friends in the press are like, no, it's not happening, even though they quote the press person at the Birmingham airport who says, oh, yeah, ICE flies charters in here all the time. And they're still pretending that it's like, well, you know, it's a made-up story.
They're out for blood against Yellowhammer. It's the bizarrest thing, because you know, you could be open-minded about Dylan Smith's reporting and whatever you think of it, but they're not open-minded at all. They rejected it like right out of hand.
Oh, it was a derisive, comic article. Yeah, that was a snippety article. I mean, it was not even. It was just basically let's bash Yellowhammer. Oh no, by the way, we didn't like his article. That's what it basically was.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Hey, last question. 2.5 minutes to go here. I think I've asked this the last couple of weeks in a row, but I'm going to ask it again. Is the legislature planning to weaken Alabama's current pro-life laws? Some of the strictest in the nation, but it makes us a very pro-life state. I had Arthur Orr on my show. I think one of y'all did too most recently. And here's a leader of the Republican caucus who's very pro-life, said, you know, kind of, hey, maybe, you know, we don't know. Maybe we'll have to see what our constituents want. And I was a little taken aback by that. It sounded like there's talk of doing something to weaken our current laws. Your thoughts. Jeff, you first.
I think his point was this, though. There's unintended consequences from every law, and he wants to wait and see. I think we're at least 5 years away. It probably won't happen till the quadrennium after next. But if you do have something happen and the public gets some buy-in here, then I totally, totally could see the legislature kind of getting blown in the wind wherever that takes them and putting something out there and the governor, whoever it may be at the time, going along with it.
Dale?
I don't think so. I don't think it happens. I think what happens is there's a lot of talk about it to make it appear that they are giving it a look. But I think that at the end of the day, they don't go down that path at all. Because, I mean, any step in any direction away from where they are right now is a pro-choice step, and they ain't taking that.
I tend to agree with Dale on this one. I still think it's unlikely that it's going to happen. But nonetheless, fellas, I appreciate you. Dale, thanks for rushing to get in. I know you had some scheduling conflicts.
I did not inconvenience myself one bit.
All right. Appreciate you guys both. Hey, folks, that's the Grand Council. We do it once a week on Thursdays. And those of you all that are in the Birmingham market, we will see you tomorrow. Huntsville, we're staying on. Don't go away. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We'll be right back.